This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Okay, here we go. Whole show. Michael, we got a lot to get to. How about the Knicks last night? Coming all the way back. We've got politics bleeding into sports more so than ever before, Michael. Kind of a depressing day, to be honest. Well, it's been depressing, but interesting. And the Avalanche are back tonight. Good news or bad news on Cale Makar? The whole show starts now. Have been really good so far. Although in the third period, the Cavs looked like they were just going to run away with this game. The Knicks were lost on their defensive assignments, couldn't get anything going offensively. Jalen Brunson looked lost. And then the fourth quarter happened with about 8 minutes to go. The Knicks were down 22 points with 8 minutes to go in the fourth, Mike. The Knicks were a 7.5-point favorite in this game, so to be down at all or to be down by 22 was quite the shocker in New York. But they go on between the fourth quarter and overtime. The Knicks went on a 44-11 run. This was one of the greatest comebacks in NBA history. And they ultimately win 115-104. They cover the spread somehow. I love these little analytics stats that come out too, Michael. ESPN Analytics, the Cavs had a 99.9% chance of winning with 7:49 remaining in the contest. 99.9%, 7.5 minutes to go. And the Knicks come back and win. I didn't notice a lot of weird calls again last night. I didn't watch the entire game. I jumped in after halftime, but it was a wild game. And in the fourth, once we got to the 8 minute mark, the Knicks owned it, and it was fun. Jalen Brunson, just incredible in the second half or in the fourth quarter in overtime. 38 points for him. Karl-Anthony Towns chucked in or grabbed 13 boards last night. OG Anunoby coming back off of that injury started to look like he was getting a bit of his step in the second half. And the Knicks take game one. So that was exciting. That was fun. The Knicks go on this major run in the fourth quarter. And Cavs head coach Kenny Atkinson, I thought he had a really weird press conference last night after the game. Very strange, Michael. This is what he said about his timeouts. He was asked, like, why are you not taking any of those timeouts in the fourth when they're going on these massive, massive runs? I mean, it was crazy. I was just like, did they run out of timeouts? Did he forget how to call a timeout? The Knicks, again, I don't know. I don't have the point totals. There was like an 18-4 run. No, it was an 18-1 run at one point. And Kenny Atkinson chose not to call timeouts. Here's what he had to say about not doing so.
Yeah, well, I like to hold my timeouts. I mean, I didn't want to have one timeout at the end of the game. One or two-point game, I try to hold them, you know.
What? Is this Coach Prime? You know, he had some issues with his timeouts and everything.
Well, Brady, as you know, in the NBA, you can carry timeouts to other games.
Apparently, he thought maybe so. You got to stop the bleeding. They had no answer. No answer for Brunson. And Brunson, I saw on the ESPN rundown of the game last night, they were talking about James Harden and his shoes. Like, he was easy to identify for Brunson because he just went at the shoes. Or maybe his beard might be one of those things. Kind of a dead giveaway. The beard, after all. Harden had no answer. I mean, he couldn't. He'd been fine defensively in the playoffs, but last night, and in the fourth quarter and overtime, he was a parking cone. And Brunson made him look very silly. Again, Kenny Atkinson, he says all the things that you're not supposed to say as a head coach, Mike. He's like, yeah, we played. I'm really proud of the guys. We played really well for three quarters. How many times do we hear the opposite of that? Well, you know, we can't just play three quarters. We got to be better than that. Kenny Atkinson, I don't know, trying to rally the troops, trying to keep their spirits up. He said, at one point, Michael, he said this. He said, we just got unlucky.
I thought they hit some really tough shots in that fourth quarter. You know, those two threes, prayer threes, end of shot clock. I think we got a little unlucky, quite honestly. You know, Brunson obviously took over at the end. And, you know, we started double-teaming him and try to do some different things. But, listen, I'm super proud of the way our group played. We played great basketball tonight for, you know, three quarters. You know, unfortunately, fourth quarter. They dominated us in the fourth quarter.
We played great through three quarters, and we got a little unlucky. They hit some key shots. I mean, they did. Some of those were contested threes, but some of those guys were just left open at the end of the shot clock.
That's what you say when you're not supposed to win. That's what you say when it's like, well, you know, the university played very well for seven innings against the Colorado Rockies. Like, that's what you're supposed to say. You don't say that when you're a professional team in the playoffs playing another professional team in the playoffs. You should be focusing on the fourth quarter where you guys melted down
big time.
Chernobyl.
Mike Brown, the head coach of the New York Knicks, he said, hey, it was no secret. We were attacking Harden. Just like we have to figure out different ways to guard Harden and Donovan Mitchell, they have to find ways to guard Jaylen. Brown went on to say, you know, we've scouted Harden a million times. And the guy is going to dribble the ball 1,000 times. So we picked him up at half court, and that was our goal, was just to make him, to wear him out, make him dribble it a little bit more. Not unlike what we saw teams try to do against Jamal Murray. It's a good strategy. I love the pickup at half court if you can do it. You can make them work before they get across half court. It makes the, I mean, I think more teams should implement that. We need a guard that can wear you out before you even cross over on the half court line. So the Knicks get the win. They're up 1-0, 1-0. We've got I won't be watching this game tonight, Michael. I won't be watching Oklahoma State and San Antonio. I would love to watch that game, Michael, but tonight belongs to the Colorado Avalanche. Going up against the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Got this news shortly before the show, though, Mike. Cale Makar, a no-go. Will not be playing tonight in Game 1.
The Avs will be fine.
Oh, come on. Come on. Don't Bronco me right now. How big of a... He's Cale Makar. He's arguably the second best player in the NHL, and it's just... it's all going to be fine?
Look, they have a lot of players. A lot
they
of
have
great
just as
players.
Many players as anybody.
I just think the Avalanche without Cale Makar are better than almost every team. Like maybe even every team.
The Avalanche
are that solid.
The Avs are, to make the basketball comparison, they're as loaded as the Thunder. But the Thunder lost to the Spurs in Game 1. I'm just saying.
The Thunder also flop.
They didn't flop a lot in that last game. But that's beside the point. I knew you were going to try to go there, but that's beside the point. Loaded teams can still lose. Loaded teams without one of their studs can still lose. I like the Avs to win tonight. They should win tonight. You got a very good goalie for Las Vegas, Carter Hart, but he's given up. He's had some games where he's given up four goals or more. So I'm excited for this game tonight. It feels like, how long has it been, Mike? When's the last time they played?
It feels like 6 days, because wasn't it Thursday?
Was it a Thursday or Wednesday or Thursday?
Felt like a Thursday. Might have been a Tuesday.
We'll see how they respond to that. You know, got to pick up where you left off. And, of course, if there's a team to do that, it's the Colorado Avalanche. It certainly feels like the Avs are a team of destiny, that they're going to win another Stanley Cup. It just feels like they're on their way. The question is, how far does this series go? Yes, Michael.
Brady, you were correct. It was last Wednesday when the Broncos closed out the series against the Wild in a wild game.
It was a wild game. Go Pokes. Hockey guy losing his mind with that comparison. How dare you compare hockey to basketball? First off, I am hashtag hockey guy. I have already claimed it. Nobody else claimed it. I claimed it. I am hashtag hockey guy. Ask me anything about hockey. I will answer it.
Tanner is hockey guy.
I am hockey guy. Tanner is cow guy. I am hockey guy.
Okay, that's a good point. Go ahead.
Ask me anything. I 100% guarantee you I will answer it. Ask me anything hockey related.
I was gonna make a joke, but that's not hockey related.
You normally don't make jokes, so that would be a shocker to me. Yeah, ask me anything. Hockey. Hockey guy. I am hockey guy. You put the thing in the thing. That's how you win. And you keep the other team from putting the thing in the thing. It's very easy, Michael. Very easy to do.
Actually, the answer is don't put the thing in the deal.
Go Pokes, I'm dying right now. Well, wait till we get into this NAACP thing. I got to talk about it. I don't like politics in my sports. And I know sports is always kind of political, Michael. But I'm going to talk about it a little bit later on in the program. Also, Sean Keeler going to join us. And we'll talk... His big story was about Cale Makar and how the Avs need to take care of this dude after this season. And I don't disagree, but his headline, of course, is if Avalanche betting on Cale Makar against Vegas, will it pay off? Makar has played 9 postseason games with what looks like one working shoulder. The Avalanche better not give him the cold shoulder in contract talks. No, you don't want to do that. You definitely want to make sure you have Cale Makar. But that upper body situation, it didn't look good. You know, he came back and played in that final game against the Wild, Michael, but that was one of those injuries. The worst injuries, it always seems like, are the ones where it doesn't look like anything happened. Like they're barely touched by a defender, and then they go and just grab something like, something moved on him. I was shocked he came back in that game, but that's hockey, guys. I mean, Nathan MacKinnon gets hit in the face with a puck. And is pissed off that the trainer's actually out there on the ice. He's like, I don't care. Let me bleed all over this. I want to skate on blood. That is, and Nathan MacKinnon's even a rare breed for hockey players. But hockey guys, I should know, I'm one of them. That is a rare group of gentlemen. 18 minutes after the hour, Mike. Let's take a quick break here. We'll talk some Avs and Golden Knights game one. We'll get into that. Also, college sports continues to be an absolute mess, and it's getting messier by the day. You already had Congress and I would say the right side of the aisle pushing for changes in college. And now you've got perhaps the left side of the aisle. One major left group in the left side of the aisle coming in requesting, perhaps demanding, certain players don't play in certain places. Boy, we're just getting started with this mess in college sports. Keep it here on the whole show. Short version today, but still same great taste. We'll be right back.
Preps baseball can be heard right here.
Hey. Me out to the ball game.
A Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Yesterday, I was all in on the College Sports Commission, all in on the discussion about, you know, them winning battles and not clearing a bunch of NIL deals. Michael, I had a fascinating conversation this morning on Football 52 with UNC head coach Ed Lamb. Get this. The UNC Bears football program, they were flagged by the CSC. They were flagged.
Why?
So they don't, obviously, they're not getting athletes millions of dollars. They're probably not getting athletes tens of thousands of dollars, right? Probably, to be fair. So
they just got lights,
yeah. And I might have some news on that too, Mike. They had an event. So I'm not going to even say the company. It's just a big company in the area. A lot of money. Believes in Ed Lamb. Believes in the program. Wants to support the program. They also support the United Way of Weld County, which we do here on the station. We're a cornerstone partner with United Way of Weld County. So there was an event for United Way. I'm not going to get into those details either. And this big company basically covered costs, did an NIL deal with 25 different football players to come out to this event. You know, it's community service. Come out to the event, be there, shake hands, help. I don't know if they were, sometimes you get out, like serve dinner, serve whatever, just be there. I don't know exactly what they were doing, but they were doing community service. It was flagged because the CSC thought United Way of Weld County needed to be the ones to pay the players, not this big company. There was confusion as to, wait, it's a United Way event, so why is United Way not paying the athletes to be out there?
United Way is a nonprofit.
Yeah. So it all got cleared. It's all good. It's just there was confusion there where it was flagged as a maybe a dicey thing. And then once, obviously, UNC compliance stepped in and went down exactly why they, you know, this is the business that's paying for them to be there because they support United Way. It's what I said. It's what I've been saying all this time. Who are you to tell these businesses what to do with their money? And in this case, even beyond that, because they're doing a good thing in the community. And I know this company, the only way they want to get involved in NIL is through community service. I know that specifically. They don't want to do, hey, tweet about us. Hey, let's do a car wash and you sign autographs. They want no self-serving part of this. In fact, a lot of the times this company, that's why I'm not bringing them up, they don't even want their names mentioned in this. So this is that example of where I go, who are you to tell them what to do with their money, especially like a good cause? But there was just confusion as to why it wasn't United Way of Weld County fronting the bill. That, to me, is crazy. But that also goes to show you the CSC's not really messing around. They're taking every little thing into account and addressing it.
First of all, I don't want United Way of Weld County footing the bill. They have other things in the community that they need to worry about.
Correct.
So, look, if I'm the CSC and there's a nonprofit that's an obvious charitable company,
mm-hmm,
you know what? I'm not getting involved in that because I'm realizing that those players are there for charity. Like,
right,
it's hard
right
to run a nonprofit.
Yeah, I get
those
you.
Those players are going to help you with
understood
that nonprofit.
Understood. Ed Lamb, we brought it up, though, and I said, so, because I asked, I said, hey, because we were talking about it a lot yesterday. And I said, how's my aim? You know, what is flagging a lot of these NIL deals? And so he brought that one up specifically, and then he kept bringing up quid pro quo, which is basically something for something. That's what I've been talking about this whole time, Michael, something for something. I can't just give you money. You got to do something, man. You can't just sit here. And that is, of course, Ed talked about that at great length. He's like, that's obviously a big problem, is schools are having a difficult time, schools or whatever, are having a difficult time of, show. Oh, hey, they got a million from this, but what for? Oh, we didn't. We'll figure that out. We'll get back to you. They are cracking down on that. But there are a lot of people, the SEC and the Big Ten now, as we talked about yesterday, that are very upset with this, even though they signed off on this. They wanted this to happen. They wanted NIL regulation. Just don't mess with us. Just don't. We want NIL regulation, but we don't want NIL regulation. Like, that's crazy to me. Why'd you sign up for it anyway? What did you think they were going to do? Did you think they were just a figurehead? Did you think they were just there in name only and they weren't actually going to come in and do what they're... I mean, it's a mess. It is a mess. Ed told me today, like, this $100 million we're talking about that got pushed away, that's all from stuff like a couple years ago and then mixed in with, obviously, that Nebraska deal. It's crazy. Yeah. I didn't know that that's all they had. Go Pokes texting me. The College Sports Commission, the CSC, operates with approximately 15 employees. 15 employees, and they're flagging that much stuff?
I hope we get flagged. I hope we get flagged so one of them can be on the radio station and we can interview them.
No, they wouldn't do that, but I would imagine
we're like them
getting flagged. But we could, I suppose. We haven't yet.
Like, there's proof. There's proof. Like, it's on 1310kfk.com, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. But that
also
our
live
guys
on the terrestrial signal. Right? Also live.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Like, they're not going to listen to us live because they're all the way somewhere else.
We have listeners all over the world. You can listen live anytime. You can listen on 1310kfk.com.
On 1310kfk.com.
Yeah.
They're not going to be here in Northern Colorado. We're not important enough.
But you can listen to it on 1310kfk.com from China if you wanted to.
Yeah. But like I said, 1310kfk.com.
1310kfk.com. Correct. Texter says, not surprised. What a joke. Glad the Bears got that cleared. Yeah, and I wanted to bring that up not to like put any kind of sky as fall. Oh, the Bears are doing... No, they're actually doing everything the right way. And that got flagged. So that the point is, it just shows you that they're not messing around with this. Now we've got bigger issues going on. Big Hub says, what did I miss? A lot. A lot, Big Hub. And I want to get into this. Actually, I want your thoughts on this, Big Hub. I do. Because now you got a very serious situation going on. Now, I'm not a political guy. If a sports story leads me to have to research politics and gerrymandering, I haven't talked about gerrymandering since I was in civics class in high school, Michael. Anytime you have to put Brady's brain on that stuff, I get mad. I get irritated. And so I've got this in NAACP stuff coming out, and they're not the first ones to do this. Yes, this started under President Donald Trump's regime. They stepped in first and said, we're going to fix college sports. And you and I are both like, this is neither conservative or liberal. I'm just kind of like, okay, yeah, good luck. You're going to say all, even he came out and said, we're going to do this, and this. It's all going to get shot down, but we're going to see where the line is, you know?
And my comment was, the government's going to screw it up.
The government's going to screw it up. This is even messier than we thought. So now we've got real life political warfare going on. And it's bleeding into college sports. So the NAACP is calling on black athletes and fans to boycott the athletic programs of public universities in states that are taking steps that the nation's oldest civil rights group says are restricting black voting rights. Well, basically, it's redrawing of district lines and stuff to make sense for voting. And conservatives do it. Democrats do it.
It's been around, like, gerrymandering.
Yeah,
it was named after a guy named Jerry, a politician named Jerry.
His last name, like, Mandering.
It's been around for that long.
Yeah. So both sides do it when they're in power. They look at their states and go, "Okay, we've got two counties or whatever that are very liberal or very conservative, whatever. Let's put them together so they just count as one as far as the voting optics. And I'm simplifying that in my brain to help myself, but that's kind of the idea behind it. So that's happening, and that's happening with a lot of states in the South: Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, Texas, and South Carolina. So that's going on, and that's part of the SAVE Act, I believe. And so the NAACP is pushing back on that, obviously, and they're pushing back on the SCORE Act, which is basically to help regulate how college athletes are making money, and they're saying that's not good either. And I'll get into more details on that. But the president of the NAACP, Derek Johnson, here's what he had to say yesterday as this kind of, this is making waves now, not just in the political world, but the sports world. Here he is.
In this moment when black representation is under attack, it is important for the CBC to keep in their tradition of being the moral of the Congress, but the moral of conscience of this country. No representation, no revenue, no one black should be on a playing field of institutions that's living off of our labor, and yet in states that are seeking to reinstitute a sharecropping reality. It is not the responsibility of black America to hold individuals who should know better accountable for doing better. As soon as the United States Congress stand united to ensure our Constitution, represent all of us, we will be a better nation as a result. NAACP this morning, in solidarity with the CBC, we are calling on athletes who are coming out of high school not to attend any state-funded schools of states that have moved to minimize our right to vote, to minimize our ability to elect candidates of our choice, and states that are seeking to create a sharecropping reality. Whether that state be Missouri or Mississippi, whether that state is South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Louisiana, Texas, or Florida, 55% of all African Americans live in the former Confederate South. But the 55% of us who live in the former Confederate South, we will not tolerate a Confederate mentality on our labor, on our ability to contribute, and our ability to be to have representation. In this moment, our democracy is in crisis. This is not about partisanship. This is about true representation. And for the NAACP, we will fight with all we have in solidarity with the Congressional Black Caucus to ensure that we have representation, or if we don't, we will withhold the talent that play on the football field or on the basketball court, be the men or female, right, in this moment.
We will withhold the talent. Wow, that's, I'm sorry, just a thought there at the end as I watched this last night. We will withhold the talent. Who are you to make the choice for these families, for these young players that are going to college? That's my first thought there. Yes, Michael.
Well, my problem with the NAACP is they support the Democratic Party. And I guess their view is that black people should vote Democrat. And I just don't believe that.
And I want to be very clear as you're talking, because you said, you know, my problem is they're wanting – you are like as – I don't even know if you're middle of the road. You're somewhere, but you are not
a staunch libertarian.
Yeah, whatever. You are certainly not a conservative, and you are certainly not a liberal, and I guess that makes you a libertarian of some sort.
I am a conservative in the true sense.
You're a very logical political person, and I've never said you had logic tied to your brain at all, so consider today your lucky day on this. I have a few. So there, it's a campaign called Out of Bounds. It's basically urging prospective black athletes, their families, alumni, and fans to withhold athletic and financial support from major public universities in states that have moved to limit, weaken, or erase black voting representation. Now, it's not always black and white. This is not we're just going to eliminate or we're going to limit black voting representation. This is a liberal this is a Democrat-Republican thing. So when you're talking about gerrymandering, they're looking at where the votes registered and, oh, this area here is predominantly voting Democrat. So we're gonna. It's not necessary. Now there has been cases. You brought this up. There's several cases in our history where gerrymandering has been just that. We are picking out a racially populated area one way or the other.
And that has been struck down by the Supreme Court. So gerrymandering is unfortunately legal, but it is illegal if it's based off of race.
Faith says, well, I have to disagree with Michael a tad. They have, for a lot of the part, gone away from encouraging blacks to vote a certain way. Well, maybe
then
they
good.
Have, but what they are doing right now is pretty obvious. This is very, it just says, we will withhold. We will withhold. We will withhold our athletes. That is, if you don't see the division in that comment right there, it should be the family's decision. It should be the student athlete's decision, or prospective student athlete's decision, where they want to go. And if we're talking about, so they use all this. It's very political, very political, very political. And then, oh, by the way, we will not support the SCORE Act. We don't support NIL. I'm trying to find the here it is. The Congressional Black Caucus, which again, they're siding with each other on this, on Monday sent a letter to the commissioners of the SEC and ACC athletic conferences, as well as NCAA President Charlie Baker, stating that its members will oppose the SCORE Act, which the SCORE Act is a bill to standardize athletes' contracting rights across the country, controlling NIL, all that stuff. So they're saying, we oppose it unless conference leaders oppose GOP-led redistricting efforts in states that include major conference members. So they're basically saying, we're not going to support this regulating of NIL or standardizing contracting rights unless this happens politically.
Yeah, well, I noticed he didn't mention California. California was the second one to start gerrymandering. He didn't mention USC, UCLA, Fresno State.
Well, they're not currently doing that right now. These are the states in question that are probably leaning more toward the right when it comes to this: Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, Texas, and South Carolina are all states that he specifically requested for black college athletes or future college athletes to boycott.
Because gerrymandering is only gerrymandering when the other side does it.
Yes, correct. Well, and that's the thing. That's my thing with politics. It's like that all the way through. This side does this same thing, and then 10 years later, wait, how dare you do that thing? But you did it. Yeah, but you're doing it now.
We have to correct it so that we can win.
Yeah, right.
I remember this same thing happening in Colorado. Republicans were mad about Democrats gerrymandering, and it's like this should be based off of representation. What representative best fits what area? Not putting a rural conservative area with Denver where the representative is never going to show up to Weld County. Because he doesn't have to.
Micah's point is that they are showing their bias that gerrymandering is bad if Republicans do it, but it's okay if Democrats do it, I think, anyways. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And I thought so.
And also, like, I don't like the idea of putting people in groups. So, like, if you are this, then you have to vote this way, or you have to be this way because I am like this. And it takes away the power of the individual and makes the individual the group. And that's against my core beliefs.
If a young black player gets a deal of a lifetime to go play football for Alabama, and we're talking money, maybe millions, and the prestige of playing for Alabama, and a legitimate shot to get drafted into the NFL. I mean, Michael, we're talking about the bluest of collars in the blue-collar football programs in the country. Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, Texas, and South Carolina. Those schools in those states. If so, you're telling me if you're the president of the NAACP and that kid gets an opportunity to go there and better his life, his family's life, his future, you would ask him to not do that. And you would ask him to go to a, for the most part, I mean, yeah, we're Big Ten. There's plenty of Big Ten schools too. But those are the two conferences that we're talking about. I mean, again, Big Ten's not, but maybe that's the, maybe Alabama and Florida and those were the ones were looking at him. Maybe he didn't have those. Maybe he wasn't getting calls or isn't getting calls from other Big Ten schools. So you want him to wait? You want him to go elsewhere? That seems like an issue, man. That seems like an issue to me.
Yeah, you're basically saying you can only go to these places, not these places, because of politics. I hate that. You know what? You're an individual. You make your own damn choices. Like, if you don't like the politics that are happening, don't go to those schools.
Well, that's what they're saying. But they're saying we don't like the politics that are happening, so you shouldn't go to those schools. That should be up to you. If you're a family member and your son's thinking about Alabama and you sit down and go, hey, here's what's going on and you know our beliefs and all right, I get you. Yeah, well, I'll fight the good fight and I truly believe that and I will go to UCLA instead for some reason. I will go there. I will go to Washington. Lord knows they need good players.
Well, we have some good players. We need more good players. Look, if this is going to help out the University of Washington, I'm still against it. Because it's like against the individual.
Oh, yeah. It's going to probably help Colorado, too. It's probably going to help this state, too, when it comes to football. I just had a problem with how, especially at the end, it's like, we will withhold our play. I mean, that is divisive, man. Faith texting, and I have lots of opinions about the situation in the NAACP. National is more divided from local chapters more than people realize. Maybe so. Yeah, that sounds probably right.
And that's true. I've only heard from the national, so I will give her credit.
You're more local, so you're paying more attention to what your community needs. This is like the overarching thing. Texter, why are people forcing society to take a million steps backwards? My gosh, this is extremely exhausting. Oh, 100%. Big Hub says, on this, I get that we have to fight for our voting rights. How is attacking sports would help? But if it can draw attention to losing money, then I'm for it. Losing money for the student athletes? Because, again, I know, Big Hub, you've been vocal on this. Like, there's just too much. There's a lot of crazy money going around in the NIL world, which is why we're talking about the CSC, the College Sports Commission. There's so many freaking abbreviations now. Michael, my mind is going to explode. But it's a coming. The political world is now starting to not only bleed into the sports world, it's taking a major hold of the sports world, especially when it comes to college.
And again, gerrymandering based off of race is illegal and will be struck down by the Supreme Court if they're thinking properly. So all the gerrymandering that's going on is basically, I want a Republican president, therefore I'm going to gerrymander.
So you're saying when they say, the NAACP says, we will withhold athletic and financial support from major public universities in states that have moved to limit, weaken, or erase black voting representation. You're saying, hey, maybe get rid of that black voting representation and put one side of aisle voting representation. More fair to say?
I would just say, like, get your politics out of my sports. I think that I only know the National. The National is very biased towards one side, and that irritates me. But it's like I don't think any of these are getting rid or hurting black votes. I think it's basically Team Red, Team Blue, and
those are the colors right now.
And that's what it is.
Those seem to be the
colors.
That
guy is assuming that everybody who's black needs to be Team Blue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's wrong, because what has the government done for you? Like, the government doesn't do anything for people. The government just makes things worse.
Get a mic. Faith, this isn't going to go far, no matter what the NAACP wants. Money speaks louder for these athletes. Yeah, you're going to make the right decision for you. 46 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
51 minutes after the hour. All right, that was fun. Let's hope that's the last of that one. Probably not. The Avalanche Golden Knights getting set for game one. Michael, where can you hear that game?
Well, Brady, you can hear it right here on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Yeah. Good job, Mike. 11:51 the time. Excited for that game. And you got to listen to Connor McGahee. Not Connor McGregor, although very similar in stature. You got to listen to this guy. Even if you want to mute the TV and listen to... Dude, must listen. He's amazing.
The puns. Top notch.
He's amazing. Sean Keeler going to join us at the 12 o'clock hour. And then we're done at 12:30 because the Rockies are winning a series today. We'll be right back.
Hear the A1 Organics Game of the Week on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cato June, All-Pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
We're going to have Sean Keeler from the Denver Post help us break down tonight's Game 1 matchup between the Colorado Avalanche and the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Talk about a spoiled franchise already, Michael. I mean, it's a very new franchise, and they rarely miss the playoffs. What do they have in store for the Avalanche, or rather, what do the Avalanche have in store for Las Vegas? How are we feeling about this series? 4, 5, 6, 7? 6, 7, maybe, Mike? Keeler coming up next. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.